Awesome. Hey, well, sorry, I'm Evan, and as we get started, I think I need to share something with y'all. I'm an introvert. Just need to tell y'all that right now. You may not believe me, because currently I'm speaking on stage in front of a lot of you right now, but I promise I am. And to kind of prove that to you, so like I said, I've been coming here to Mosaic about 2 years or so now. It took me about, I think it was 9 months to work up the courage to go to my first pizza night. So, because I need to talk about this for a little bit. This has been on my chest for a long time. But pizza night is terrifying. I don't know if anyone can relate to this, because we say a lot of great things about pizza night, but for me, it was so scary, because they say, okay, park at the Publix, and then the shuttle will pick you up. Sounds so easy. No, this scared me so much. I remember right in my beginning stages of coming here, I would sit in the audience, and they would tell this, and immediately my mind would picture, I'd think, okay, so I have to drive to this abandoned lot, probably in the middle of nowhere, and then wait for a stranger in a van, probably with no windows or something, to pick me up, take me to this secondary location, and then what happens when I actually get there? What do I do when I'm ready to leave? Do I have to ask someone, or do I stay there till midnight? I don't know. So basically, all these things, they terrified me, and it took me forever to actually go. I will tell you, though, after going, it's pretty fun. You should check it out. There's pizza, stuff like that. It's great. This wasn't supposed to be an anti-commercial for that. But this aspect about pizza night here that scared me so much to even going to it, it kind of trickled down into a lot of other community activities too, because like I said, I'm an introvert, so that makes me nervous in these areas, because I think, what am I going to do? How do I talk to people? What's that going to look like? So what does that mean for me about community? Because I think there's something a little deeper there than just those kind of introvert tendencies, because I start to think that, okay, it's not just that I'm nervous in this group of people. It's that I start to think that I don't have anything to add to them. I have no value to add to this situation, or are people even going to want me there? Like, what is my role here? Now, and then I start to think, okay, well, whenever I'm in any of these situations, especially as I was new, I thought, well, okay, there's probably going to be someone there that's a lot funnier than I am, so they're going to want to talk to them. Or there's going to be someone that's better at community, so they're all going to organize these activities. Or there's going to be someone who has better stories to share than me, and it gets a little overwhelming. Now, has anyone else thought these things before in any public setting, or is that just, okay, thank goodness, that's a relief, because I know I am not alone now. But basically, kind of the way we see this a lot in church is that there's kind of two distinct groups of people. We've got the people that are up on stage, and everyone looks great, and, you know, they sound great, they're doing all these wonderful things, and then the people in the audience, and it's really easy for me as a member of the audience to just sit back and say, that is great for them, but they're probably in this sort of elite group of Christians that I cannot attain to. So I'll just sit in the back. I'm not going to bother anybody, because when it comes down to it, I just didn't think that I had anything at all to contribute. Didn't think that I had anything of value to add, and I was just going to wait for somebody else to kind of do that for me. And that gets pretty scary whenever we kind of see these gaps, or we have such a strong desire to contribute, to enter into these arenas, but I just don't know what to do, because I wait for someone else to do it for me. But what I want to talk to each of us tonight about is that we do have a really cool role that we actually can play in community. And to help me do that, I want to invite four of my friends up on stage tonight, and I'm inviting them because they're awesome. They encourage me so deeply, because they have noticed that they actually do have these really cool qualities about them. They've recognized what makes them unique, or they've seen an opportunity, and they have stepped into it, and they've taken ownership of community in some really cool ways. So I want to start with Jennifer White over here. Jennifer, you can come up to the stage here. All right, yes, thank you. Now, if she looks familiar, it's because she was, in fact, the one that was leading worship here a few minutes ago, so you may recognize her. All right, Jennifer, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, One thing that I would love for you to talk to us about tonight is there's this really cool thing that you do called a bird dinner. And now I've been fortunate enough to be able to participate in one of these bird dinners, but for everybody else, can you please explain that to us?
Yes. Well, Mary Poppins, who is basically the Jesus of Disney, wow, she tells us to feed the birds, right? And so that is what I have taken it as. It's my personal mission. There are the swans that dance in front of the parade. They're the very first things that cross the sight line. They're the most beautiful dancers in the universe. And I love to have, we invite like maybe six at a time to come over and have dinner with my family. And we cook for them and we all eat and we do what Mary Poppins says. We feed the birds.
That is fantastic. Now, so these birds, you say, why the birds? Why'd you pick them?
Well, I used to work inside the castle with my best friend, Holly, and we had so much fun, and the cast was pretty small, and so it was very easy to do what we called them activities. So we could throw Christmas parties or birthdays. It was super easy to do activities because it was small. And then I started working in the parade, and when you walk in that room, it is just, like, full of people. And I was like, holy cow, I can't get 90 people to pretend it's Christmas in May with me. And so I thought, I need to make my mission field a little bit smaller here. I need to narrow my focus and decide who I want to love on. Obviously, we're supposed to love on everyone. But and so I thought I'd been given a unique opportunity. I ride on a float in a parade, and the float pulls up, and we have 2 minutes before we actually start the parade. And there are these dancers that wait right next to where our float is. And so for 2 minutes, I have made them have my undivided attention. So we opened the parade in 2014. And so for that many years, like 3.5, is that right? 3.5 years, every day at 3 or 2 o'clock now, we ask the birds questions, or we have Fun Fact Friday, or we just get to know them. And before they go out, I make sure that they know they are loved, they are encouraged, and they are so, so talented. And I'm so proud to be working alongside them because I just genuinely am. I love them.
Now, Jennifer, now tell me, where did you go to seminary, or where did you study theology at?
Yeah, it's a common question. I get asked this all the time.
Of course, yes.
I am married to Brady White, who is brilliant. The Einstein of the Bible is what I call him around my house. And I am happy to tell you that, I am content to tell you that I know nothing about theology. I think something's called Calvinism. I think there's another one. You will not catch me in a debate about that stuff because when I read the Bible, it just says that Jesus is supposed to love on people, and that's our mission. We're supposed to make disciples of all people. I'm not doing it perfectly, but I'm just trying really hard. And so you can debate with me. I will just listen, and I'm really proud of you for knowing so much. That's awesome. But Evan, thank you for asking. I didn't go to seminary, and I don't know much about theology.
Yeah, I think that's so cool that you've seen this opportunity to serve. You know, you don't need to go to seminary or to be a pastor in order to reach the places that you've been. So can you kind of speak to that? I would imagine there's someone that is sitting in here right now. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, being on mission here at Walt Disney World or wherever we may be working. What if someone's sitting in here right now and they have such a passion, they want to reach their work location, but they just don't know where to start? What would you say to them?
First of all, I would tell you that I don't feel qualified to even speak on this. I am learning alongside of you, and for those who work alongside me, you can tell these people that I'm not perfect at it yet, but I'm trying. But if it's something that you want to do in your workplace, I would tell you to start small. Just think about that new CP that just came in, and they're looking at you like, how do they know how to push all these buttons to make Space Mountain work? Like, you are their idol right now, and the more that you reflect Jesus, the more maybe they'll be able to make Jesus their idol, because that's what we're supposed to do. And so that's what I would just encourage, to make your mission field start small. And I think you'll be so excited to see how the Lord blesses that and uses you in big ways just by you being willing to say yes.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Jennifer. I appreciate that. Here, I'll take the microphone. All right, give her a hand. All right, next, I want to invite up Mark Willard here. Okay, Mark, yes, let's give him a hand too, of course. Here is your microphone.
Thank you.
Okay, so Mark, welcome up here. Welcome. Now, I'm pretty sure many of you know this, but our beloved The Great Movie Ride closed this summer. We're very sad about that. But Mark, you and Chad did something really special to celebrate this. Can you kind of tell us about that?
So, first of all, this was all Chad's idea, so I can't really take too much credit for it. But Chad approached me a couple weeks before the movie ride was set to close and said that he wanted to have a... Got to make sure I get the name right. Great movie ride, great movie marathon.
Not a tongue twister at all or anything,
like that.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, sure, whatever. He was kind of asking my, you know, what I thought. And I wanted to be encouraging, but I was thinking, like, you know, no one's going to come to this. Because it sounded cool to me, but I'm a nerd. And I'm like, you know, everyone else is going to think this is too nerdy. No one's going to want to come. But I was very, very wrong and very shocked by the response that we got. So, but anyway, to explain what it was, every night leading up to the closure of the Great Movie Ride, we would screen one of the movies that is featured in the Great Movie Ride, or was featured in the Great
R&D.
Movie Ride, sorry, in the order in which the ride occurs. And so we started with Footlight Parade and ended with The Wizard of Oz.
That's awesome. Now, at what point did church leadership approach you to give you the idea to do this or to give you the green light to do something like this?
So I have to confess, we never got permission from
goodness.
Brady.
Get off the stage. Get out of here. No.
So y'all
felt qualified to do this just all on your own, right? You know, you didn't need anyone's permission or anything. You just went for it?
Pretty much.
Nice. Okay. Now, okay, what do you like most about this event?
So one thing that really surprised me was Chad did a lot of extra things for the event that kind of went above and beyond. Starbucks has the concept of surprise and delight, mm-hmm. and it was kind of like that, where as soon as you got there, there were theme signs directing you, you know, where to go, and different signs telling you where soda was or popcorn was, and music playing in the background that had to do with either the Great Movie Ride or the movie that was playing that night. There were special features for each movie, which Chad put together himself. There were prizes that you could win depending on how many nights you mm-hmm. attended. And I would say, other than that, my favorite thing was just the incredible response that we mm-hmm. got to the event, where we basically parked up our entire street the last night. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I love what you said right at the beginning, that you didn't really think anyone was going to, it would be turn into this big thing. You kind of just did it because this was something that you were interested in. You said, these are your words, not mine, you referred yourself as kind of a nerd there, you know. But I love it. You took what you were excited about, something with Disney, and then you created this event. So what would you say to someone in here who kind of has some unique interests or wants to get involved in a community? What would you tell them to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to look different from everyone. Kind of like
Absolutely.
You said, you know, it won't necessarily be like the Great Movie Ride movie marathon, but maybe you're really into running and there's a few people that you could go running with, or maybe you love reading and want to start a book club or something like that. Whatever it is that you're passionate about, find other people that you can do that with and enjoy those things together.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, well, thank you so much, Mark. Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
All right. Next, I would like to invite up Blake McDonald. Where are you? Blake, all the way in the back there. All right, welcome, Blake. Here, we can go ahead and give him a round of applause. There you go.
Thanks.
Okay, Blake, welcome.
So bright.
Yeah, I know. It's very bright out here. You can't really see very many people, you know? It's
yeah, but
nice.
I have, like, thin blonde hair, so I'm always worried it's going to, like,
No, you look fantastic. Like, don't worry. You are great. All right.
I've seen the movie Ants, like the magnifying glass.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. Yeah, it's okay. This is a safe space.
Anyways.
Anyway, so Blake, you just have a really cool pattern of doing a lot of awesome community events. I think over the past year, you've done, I don't know, just a lot of different things. Starting with last Christmas, can you kind of tell us just some of the events that you've done?
Yeah, I mean, so at Christmas time, like obviously at Disney, very busy season for a lot of cast members and a lot of people. But there's a bunch of us out there that wanted to find a way to celebrate community or be in community in a unique way while also not forgetting the uniqueness of wanting to live on mission and wanting to radiate Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think that's best represented with people, you know, and people with different gifts and really truly radiating the full body of Christ. So we created a Facebook group. We called it like How the Friends Gave Christmas.
Nice.
And like everyone loves watching Christmas movies. So we had some dedicated days where we would come together, eat cookies, make cookies, whatever, watch Christmas movies. But we always would have some type of missional aspect attached to it. Mm-hmm. So like one time I thought I had to sneeze. Worse, no sneeze.
Hey, okay.
So like we collected toys, which that like Tiana could attest had some cool impact on Universal coworkers. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we wrote cards, whether that be for family or friends, or like we talked about, like, man, sometimes we forget to reach out to family, so let's take this time and uniquely like represent Jesus and show love to coworkers, people that know Jesus, don't know Jesus, friends, family, and let's do it together, and let's find a way to make Christmas something that's not just about enjoying Disney magic and snow on Main Street and all the perks that we get by living here, but also really representing Jesus well to different friends and family outside of just our little community.
That's awesome. And then that segued to something that you have going on right now, actually. Can you tell us about that?
So right now, kind of like building off of Mark, me and Chad talked, like, great movie, Ride Marathon, had a lot of success, and I can't say, like, every other week when any Marvel movie would come out over the past, like, you know, 10 years, people would be like, oh, I've never seen them, but I always wanted to. So I called Chad up. I was like, hey, this is what I think would be good. I was like, the big Marvel movie comes out next May. So I was like, we got 10 months here. So let's kind of build off that. Let's put a missional aspect into it, whether it be donating to causes. Let's use all the gifts that Chad already brought to the table through the great movie Ride Marathon. Let's radiate that. And let's give people an opportunity to come together in a setting that is outside of their Disney bubble and to truly just invite their friends into a safe space where people, like, we're just doing things that we're already doing. Like, we would have watched all the Marvel movies again anyway. Mm-hmm. So why not take that opportunity to bring other people into that? And also, Mark didn't say this, but one of the coolest pictures, I think, Mark left this out probably because it's his house, but one of the coolest things about that last night of the Great Movie Ride Marathon was that their neighbors were so confused why so many cars had filled up the street for 12 consecutive nights. And on the last night, their neighbors called the cops because they thought something sketchy was going on, because these cars showed up and they like had timed it. Like, they show up at the same time every night. And I mean, I don't want to misspeak on it about what they thought we were actually doing, but the cops showed up and they're like, we're just watching a movie. And Mark and them like, were we being a disturbance? And they're like, no, we don't know what's going on. So like, that was just such a cool picture of, like, literally, again, something that was just an idea of watching movies from, you know,
the
50s.
So great that the cops came.
And the cops come. And they don't understand. But then Mark and Chad got to talk to the neighbors and say what we're doing. And so that aspect was really cool as well. And so it's just taking things you do every day, finding a way to make them serve others well, but also love in a way that's just different from what people are experiencing on a day-to-day basis in Orlando and their work locations, or just something a little different than, you know, feeling the pressure to, like, go to work and reach out to this cast member and build this relationship. And so just trying to give people a safe environment to love people, to be missional, and to do it in a community that represents the full body of Christ.
Yeah. And why do you do these things? What do you think sparked that in you?
I think it's been twofold. One was in college, of really getting to experience the power of community when it's in its fullness, and just people's different gifts, the way that you're able to learn from those and to, you know, just build on that. It's like, I'm not overly like kind or joyful. Like, that's not a spiritual gift of mine. I fall more on like the pride, competitive side, where it's like being around other people.
Gifts, you know.
Yeah, everyone's Yeah, you're competitive too. don't laugh at that.
I think your competitiveness is coming out right now.
But,
so. You're good.
Dang it. Nice one there. But just so getting to experience that, realizing the power of it, the power of being able to build and like let people, let your coworker, let this person that doesn't know Jesus see this picture, right, of people of different backgrounds, different ethnicities, races, genders, whatever, coming together, and what does the one thing that they have in common. So that's wonderful, just getting to experience the power of that and then carrying that over into like my post-college life. And then two, it's kind of, this might just be more in my head the way I connect it, but C.S. Lewis's quote of like, nothing you've ever not given away will ever truly be yours has always been the thing that when I fully understood it, because it's one you hear often, I feel like it's one of his like, cliche quotes, but it's just this idea that like, man, like nothing, literally nothing that I have right now, like I will take with me to eternity, no money, no activity, no souvenir, no gift. So that always made such an impact on me because I'm like, if I can't like set up an opportunity for people to go to the movies, or if I can't give this person a gift that will make them feel the love today, because I'm like, well, it's $8 and I gotta go drive 20 minutes to go get it and do this. Like, if I can't do these things, if I can't die to myself and be willing to make sacrifices that really truly embody the gospel, then I feel like I'm just wasting. Because, like, at the end of the day, you're wanting to pour your heart and everything that you are into something that's significant. And Disney, like, we all love Disney. Like, we work here, or if you don't work at Disney, like, you're in the area. And I just dream, like, I have this dream that, like, man, there's so much we can do, like, where we come here and we all just want to go to the parks and we go through that phase where it's like, this is great. Like, look at all the gifts around us. But at the end of the day, like, to the dream of, like, wanting to pour love onto cast members and friends, that I think that Disney becomes a tool and a beautiful, fun, great, magical thing that we get to experience and know, but that we get to do with each other, and it becomes a tool of radiating Jesus. So it's just this idea of, like, I just want to die to everything that I am and be willing to make sacrifices or pay for this or do this or give someone an opportunity to do this, because it doesn't cost me anything. And why would you not do something that only costs you just a little bit of your time or money or whatever it is?
That's awesome. Hey, thank you so much, Blake. That's so cool. Here, I'll take that back. All right, I'm going to invite Emma up on stage now. All right, you can hand off that baton there. All right, hey, Emma.
Hi.
All right, welcome. Okay, so this was new information for me tonight. Can you please say your last name for everybody right now?
So my name is Emma Darlene.
Thank you, because I'm scared.
But if you say it wrong, it's totally fine. I don't care.
All right, awesome. Hey, well, welcome, Emma. Okay, so one thing that I am so excited to hear you talk about tonight is this thing called the Adventure Community. So can you kind of just tell us what that is and where did the idea come from?
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, the Adventure Community was not solely my idea, so I can't take sole credit for that. It was a group effort, but it kind of came from after the beach retreat. I had so much fun with all my friends and just learned so many great things and had such great experiences that I wanted to recreate that in a smaller setting by just having a normal beach day. Just kind of going up, maybe having worship at sundown and stuff like that. And then I got to talking to that about that with a group of friends, and they, someone said it, I don't know who it was kind of like, well, what if we created this Facebook page where we could post a ton of events like this and kind of create that environment? And that is how the Adventure Community was born.
That's awesome. And now, so what have been some of your favorite events that have sprung up? Because it's been pretty successful. It's been thriving, I think, since it was introduced. Yeah. So what are some of your favorite things from it?
Well, we've had several beach days, and those are super
nice.
Fun. And probably the most unique thing that I've done with the Adventure Community is we went to the old Spanish sugar mill at the Ponce de Leon State Park, if I'm saying that all correctly, where basically they cook... You get to cook pancakes in front of you on a griddle that's, like, in your table. Or, like, eggs or whatever you want, and it's so good.
That is awesome. That's the dream right there. What more could you ask for? Pancakes right in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay, now, what purpose do you think the adventure community here serves, and why do you think that it has been so successful?
So I think the adventure community is really important because, so we have a great... I'm pretty biased because I think here at Mosaic we do community really well. And we have great missional community. We have missional, you know, mission week and stuff where we go out and we serve others and things like that. And we have pizza night. We have D groups and small groups and all of that great stuff. And so I think where the adventure community fits in is where, you know, we kind of just have a place to encourage and uplift one another and go do something really fun at the same time. Go in and have adventures that are in Orlando or outside of Orlando.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I love what you, where this idea kind of came from, where you said it was after your first beach trip and you liked the community there and you wanted to do more of that. I'm going to imagine that there's someone sitting here tonight, maybe it's their first time here or they're wanting to get invested. What would you say to them?
So I would just really encourage people. Something that I started doing at the beginning of this year, I made a New Year's resolution that... I kind of called it Just Say Yes. And so that was kind of the idea of whenever an opportunity for a community or something like that popped up, I would kind of just say yes. I wouldn't stop to think about...
Yeah,
I wouldn't stop to think about, like, oh, like, if I go, are people going to talk to me? Or, you know, all of those what ifs that can have some sort of negative thing that can keep you, you know, or what am I missing out on if I go to this? And, you know, because FOMO is a very real thing in this day and age. And we all struggle from that from time to time. And so I really just, and through that, and that's honestly, I mean, kind of segue, but that's how I went on the mission trip to Italy. Holly Trisler, my D group leader, literally was like, do you want to go to Italy on a mission trip? And I said, yes. And I did it.
That's one way to do it, you know?
Yeah, and I, one of the best experiences of my life, I don't regret it. And that's how I felt with all of the things that I have said yes to in community. I don't regret it at all. And I also think it's really important to, while you are partaking in community and stuff, just... you don't have to be someone that facilitates everything or, you know, come up with a fantastic idea like the movie night and stuff. Like, that was so much fun. I went to all of those. but the biggest thing about community is just going, honestly, just being there and making the time to go, just saying yes to that. And at the same time, being intentional and genuine with, you know, when you're in community and how you do community. Like, if... you know, you invite someone to go get coffee or something, don't use that as empty words, as like a greeting or a goodbye. You know how sometimes we do that, where it's like, oh, we totally should hang out sometime. Yeah, bye. And then you never follow through with that. Like, something I really try to do, and I'm not perfect at it, but if I say something like that or someone says something like that to me, I try to follow up and get in touch with them and say, like, hey, when are we hanging out? and honestly, people don't always expect that, and I think that's really important in community, is just to be genuine and intentional.
Awesome. Hey, well, thank you so much, Emma. All right, let's give her another round of applause. All right, thank you. All right, y'all, these stories are cool. It's so encouraging to me just to hear four completely different and pretty unique experiences with community. As I was talking to them and we were kind of planning all these things, it was really encouraging for me just to hear these different perspectives. But I know from my personal experience, it is really easy to look at these four people up on the stages here and think, okay, that is great for them, but that is not something for me. They're this special super Christian, and I can't get on the same level as them. And I know I have a tendency to immediately start comparing myself and think, I am completely inadequate here, and that is a great opportunity for someone else to enter into. But that's really not the case. If you want to turn your Bible, or we're going to put it up on the screen here, turn to 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 20. It says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. All right, I want to be honest with y'all and say that I have been very much struggling with this a lot recently. It's been really difficult for me to believe that, to believe what this passage says, and to believe that I actually do have a unique place to serve. Recently, over the past, I guess, year being at Mosaic, I have found some really unique opportunities to play piano or do announcements or other groups, things like that. But for the longest time, I didn't believe that. And though all those fears right now, for whatever reason recently, have been slipping back in and making me believe that I don't have a place to serve. I don't have, I'm not of value. Nobody would want what I have to say or be able to listen to me. Even a fear of, why am I even speaking up here on the stage? Brady would do such a better job of doing this than me. What is my role here? And all these fears and lies just start building on top of each other over and over and over again to where it gets pretty overwhelming. And this past week, what I did is I created a playlist on Spotify and just had three songs on it. And one of those songs was by this band called Sleeping at Last, and it's called You're Enough. And the chorus or whatever in the song, it just says that phrase, you're enough, over and over and over again. It says, you're enough, you're enough, you're enough, you're enough, you're enough. And those words, especially as I listen to these interviews that we had tonight and think about this verse here, I am enough. And it's not just that I'm enough. I have something unique to offer. God created me in a unique and special way. And I actually have something that I can benefit our community here with. I can be of benefit here. And that's not me being prideful or arrogant or anything. It says it in this passage right here, and that's true for each and every one of us in here. We were all created in such a unique and special way, and there is a unique place that we can serve within the body of Christ. So as we think about, you know, the people that were interviewed today, we don't need a room full of Jennifers. We don't need a room full of Blakes or Marks or Emmas or Evans. We don't need a handful of those. We need our community to be made up of individuals that were uniquely made in the image of God in the way that He specifically created them to be. So I may not be some wild extrovert who's going to be the life of the party. That is just not who I am. We do have some people that may be like that, but that is not the role that I have. But God has given me some very special, some unique places to serve. And all I have to be willing to do is step into those areas and trust God with that. So it was so cool for me, and I hope for all of you, to be able to listen to these unique stories here tonight and see the way that each of these individuals, they saw a need, they saw opportunities that they had with the giftings and the things that they're passionate about and the things that get them excited, and they answered that call, and they just did something with it. So as we finish tonight, I want to go ahead and invite the band back up here on stage. My challenge for us tonight, this is very much so a challenge for me too, is that we recognize that we each have a very special and unique gifting. We are each made in such special and unique ways, and we can contribute to this body of believers here because you are each essential to Mosaic at Walt Disney World. And so what I want us to do tonight, so I want us to pray, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what areas you are being called into, what ways can you serve, what is your specific gifting, what is your specific role that you can fill here tonight. So I'm going to pray for us. All right, dear Lord, thank you so much for this community. Over these past 2 years that I've been here at Mosaic, I've been so blessed by the people that have taken ownership of over community, and they've really made serious this calling of pursuing you and carrying the story and investing in community in their unique ways. And without the people that came before me, I would not be here. So Father, I pray that tonight you reveal to each of us the specific things that you're calling us into. I pray that you reveal to each of us the passions that we have, the giftings that we have, and you give us the courage and the faith to step into these areas, Lord. So thank you so much that we have this body of believers. Thank you so much that we have this community here. Be with us for the remainder of the evening. Help us to just worship you, passionately worship you here tonight, and to become so much more intimate with you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.